Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Spotlight on the Ulster County Regional Chamber of Commerce. My name is Ward Todd. Did you set your clocks back before you turned on the radio this morning, or maybe the alarm went off a little different time for you today? Don't forget, this is the end of daylight saving time, so take care of that in all of your watches and clocks and things. And a reminder also, this coming Tuesday is Election Day. If you have such a thing, put a little reminder, sticky note or somewhere. Be sure to get out and vote this coming Tuesday. A lot of important things going on in our local region, so please vote. Special thanks we want to give to our friends at the Center for Spectrum Services, host of our mixer just this past Thursday. Great turnout in the wonderful facility. Really kudos to Susan Buckler and to Jamie Wolf and all the staff. They do such wonderful work there, helping out young individuals on the autism spectrum. So great, great job. Thank you very, very much for being our host for a wonderful mixer. And thanks to our sponsor, Dr. Greg Sultanoff, and the great folks at Voom, a brand new website, interactive, get the workforce moving concept. And it's simple, just sit less and move more. They want to get you to get your employees up and moving throughout the day. It's an excellent thing to have on your computer. So thanks again to the folks at Voom. Find out more about them on our website, ulsterchamber.org. There's a direct link to all the great work that they're doing. And we also want to talk a little bit about our dinner, which was just a little over a week ago, our annual Business Recognition Award dinner. But I want to talk about that with our guest today, who is Terry Parisian, General Manager of the Hudson Valley Mall and the current Chairman of the Board of the Ulster County Regional Chamber of Commerce. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Ward.
It's great to see you today. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks.
Oh, awesome. So the dinner was good, right? You have a good time?
The dinner was fantastic. It's a great, great event. It's great to see all those business people there that do business in Ulster County and are thriving in Ulster County. So it was great to see them. It's a great night of mixing and a great slate of honorees this year.
Yeah. A special thanks to all of the folks who made it possible, our many, many sponsors, and really the honorees who every year, I guess, seem to just amaze us in the remarks that they make, wonderful presentations about how they got started in their business and how they grew their business or their organization.
And it's great to see some of the businesses that are nominated and accept the awards are really not seen in everyday public. So it's great to see these people that do exist and thrive in Ulster County.
Yeah, kind of, you're right. They're kind of bubbling. If they're not directly in retail, you often don't see what they're doing. LHV Precast, a great example of that, right?
Yes.
Our small business of the year, they've got 45 employees making concrete abutments and those kinds of things that are used in construction and roadside projects. And, you know, thanks to Terry, decided last year, Terry said, let's try and find out more about these companies. So our good friend Michael Gold shot some great photographs of each of our honorees this year. And then we put them up on a slideshow for everybody to see.
I think it was great to see that. It's a different twist on what we did in the past. And it's like you say, we saw some old pictures of the Garrigan Oil and the Davenport Oil and this precast that's right here in Ulster County. And people didn't even know that they did or what they did. So it was great to see that slide presentation as they were giving their thank you speeches.
Absolutely. So our next job is to get them up on our YouTube channel so folks can see them when they go there to find out more about this great dinner. It's an annual event. It's one of the best feel-good nights in Ulster County, right, Terry?
It is. It's one of the things I look forward to as not only a member of the chamber, but as chairman of the chamber. It's great past 2 years in working closely with our honorees.
Yeah. So don't let me forget to thank you for all your great service and all your great work on the chamber board. You've been on for quite a few years now. Thank goodness.
It's been a while, and it's been very rewarding. I've done a lot of things from coaching to school board, and this has been an enjoyable journey for me. And I say it's a journey because I've learned a lot. I've met a lot of people, and it's helped me grow as being part of Ulster County and a longtime resident of Ulster County.
Yeah. Terry and his wife, Joanne, involved in so many wonderful things in Saugerties where they live and throughout the region. And yeah, we thank you for your service on the Chamber Board. It's been an absolute delight working with you.
Thank you.
But we wanted to bring you on the radio today and talk about the Hudson Valley Mall. You've been the GM there now for how many years?
It was 10 years in June.
Congratulations.
In June of 2005. So it's, again, being local, it's helped me bring that local flavor to a giant mall environment. And it's great to see local people there, local people working there, and a business that's really contributing to the economy of Ulster County.
Yeah. And I think that it was a great move on the part of the folks who own the mall. I don't know there was a local person involved before as general manager before you, but clearly having someone with a finger on the pulse of what's happening in Ulster County is very, very important when you're in that kind of position.
I agree, and it's helped. It's, you know, living here, working here, your children growing up here, and knowing friends and stuff that live here, it does give you a good environment to make a living. And we do use local contractors. I mean, we have 5 current contracts now, all local. Our housekeeping is outsourced, and we have a local contract with them. Our landscaping and snow plowing is local here, which before, when we were more national, they didn't allow that to happen. So it's great to see that local people being employed here and being part of the success of the mall.
How old is the mall now?
1981, so we will be celebrating 35 years in 2016.
Fantastic. Wow. And it certainly has grown over the years in stages, right?
It has. We've many additions and stuff that happened, expansions. The original mall was built in 1981 with JCPenney's, and at that time it was...
It wasn't Kmart.
Kmart was on the one end, but I'm trying to not, and it wasn't Filene's. It was
before Filene's. Now I'm losing it also.
We are too.
It's high-end clothing store though. Yeah.
So you know that 89 we had the expansion.
Hess.
Thank you. It was Hess's stores. Yeah. Yes, and then Filene's, and then Macy's. So that's had some transition in that section of the mall. 89 we put on the addition, expanded the theaters and the Sears. And then in 2000, we took over the old Kmart space and broke that into 2 very good stores, Best Buy and Dick's Sporting Goods. And then in 2001, we added on the north end the Target, which has been a great, great addition to the mall.
And so how many folks work at the Hudson Valley Mall?
We have about 2,000 employees that come to work at there. With Penny's that was opened in one of our anchor stores, we probably had 2,100 people, 2,200 people there in 2007, our best years.
So if you looked at that as a group, that'd be the largest employer in Ulster
absolutely.
County.
Absolutely. You know, the mall doesn't do it, but it's that 70, 80 retail stores that employ all those people. And it's, like I say, not only do the real estate taxes, school taxes contribute to the area, but the local dollars, payroll dollars, turn over 7 times in the community. So it's a big number, and I think we would sorely miss this entity if it wasn't here.
Right. And so actually what you're looking at is a combination of a lot of small and intermediate-sized businesses all under kind of one roof. So when we talk about shopping local, there really is a value in shopping local at the mall.
Absolutely. And again, those tax dollars, sales tax dollars stay here. Employee dollars stay here. Payroll taxes stay here. The local contractors that are employed and do contract work at the mall, it's all done here. So yes, it is very local. Even though you have some national chains, they employ the local people. And it's a place for locally people to come and shop. They don't go to Albany, or they won't go to Poughkeepsie, or they won't go to Danbury. They stay here and keep it local and shop local.
Well, and I love it because it's indoors. And so we've had some rainy weather the past week. People know we had a couple inches of rain just the other night. When you want to shop in comfort, the mall is the best.
That was one of the reasons the inception for malls. It was climate control, especially in the Northeast. You know, you don't need that down in the South or in the Southwest, but that was the reason for a mall. Climate controlled, summertime, people come in and do their mall walking in the morning and climate controlled. Not now heat and humidity. So it's an all-around activity place for people to come and congregate.
Right. And so I'd forgotten about the walking. How early does it open for folks to get in and be able to walk how many miles inside?
Yeah, we open the doors at 6 a.m. for the mall walkers. The inside mall, if you've ever noticed and you look at the floor, there is a green line that goes around the mall, and that's really the lease line for the store. The store owns the right to that green line. But people will walk that green line, and it's amazing. Don't get in their way in the morning because they'll knock you over.
Right.
And it's 8/10 of a mile indoors.
Okay.
And outside it's 1.2 miles outdoors if you walk the perimeter of the mall. So people gauge it, and they'll come in faithfully and walk it. It was comical because the other day I was walking through the mall, and a shopper came up to me and goes, you got to stop that person. He's not shopping. They're walking. It's 2:00 in the afternoon. They can't walk now. So yes, we can. They can walk anytime they want.
Yeah. Like you and me, they got their Fitbit
they
on,
got their
right?
Fitbit, and they're going.
It was raining. They needed to get their steps in. So big impact on our economy, more than 2,000 employees, school and general taxes.
school taxes are in the neighborhood of $3,000 or $3 million. Sorry, $3 million.
$3 million a year
in school taxes
toward our local economy.
And then the property taxes are another $1.5 million. And then sales tax revenue is probably, you know, we on $178 million, 8.5% sales tax revenue on there. So 3.5 stays in the county, 3.5 goes to the.
Right. Wow, huge.
So huge. Big numbers,
yeah,
big numbers.
Absolutely. So, again, big fan, love the stores. Lots of convenience, obviously, getting to go from store to store. And I also like parking not up close to the door anymore, right? Sure. So you get some more steps walking up from the far end of the mall. So talk to me about retail today, Terry. What's going on in retail anyway, and not just locally but nationwide?
Yeah, that's one of the things people get very confused with, that they say the mall and the mall is retail. But realistically, the mall is a big building that houses either anchor stores, you know, greater than 50,000 square feet, medium-sized anchor stores of 15,000 square feet. And then you have your mom and pop or your smaller shops that encompass only 5,000 square feet. And really what you saw after the big recession that we had back in 2007 is that retail has changed. The millennials have shopped differently than the baby boomers did. They are more into their smartphones, digital technology. And an example that I like to see is mommy's on her way home from work, and she stops by at the store to buy something for her son at the grocery store. It's out, and she gets a beep on her telephone of saying, hey, you're in the area and there's an ad now or for money off on so-and-so and you're in the area. So they're mixing that in-house brick and mortar store with digital technology, and more of that's happening. So the retail industry is really downsizing. There's too much retail space with the combination of what we call omni-channeling today. That's a new buzzword out there. And omni-channeling is retailers adapting to the way we use our smart devices at home, our iPads, our smartphones. People really start doing their shopping online now. So they'll research what they're going to buy. They want to buy a TV. They want to know what specs. They'll go out and get consumer reviews on it and say, this is the TV they want. But then they want it now and they need it now. So they'll go to the brick and mortar store, buy that. And 9 times out of 10, retail today will match online pricing. They've adapted to that. So that's what you're seeing in the retail industry today, is that mixed bag of that old e-commerce, strictly old e-commerce, and strictly digital. And they have to adapt. I was just reading an article the other day. The big department stores, Macy's, Neiman Marcus's, and those type of stores, they're actually putting computer-controlled change of light stations in their dressing rooms for women go on and try on their gowns. They want to see what it's they look like in the dark. They want to see what it's like when they go out in the sunlight, and they have to adapt their dressing rooms now to see the way people shop. And that has been a hit to the retail industry. Foot traffic is not there. The success of a shopping center used to be measured in foot traffic. And again, we don't window shop anymore. We are too busy. So, you know, mom and dad won't walk through the mall with their kid in hand and buy an ice cream cone and a coffee and stop in the food court and eat. It's, oh, mommy's on the way to a soccer game and Johnny forgot his cleats, so I got to go buy a pair of cleats. They want to drive up to the store and they want to drive away. So our sales volume is at the mall, but the dollar or the foot traffic is less. People will run into Target, and Target just expanded, big expansion last year and added food. So people now go in and buy their food, and they'll buy a notebook for Johnny that he forgot or whatever.
Or their Starbucks.
So, yeah, it's all there now, and that's what people want. So that's what we're starting to see. Brick and mortar is always going to be there. Amazon is building their first brick and mortar store right in New York. They're building it as we speak. So they understand, too, that it's not all on sales, on online sales. I tell people 2014 is the last number that we had. $4.3 trillion in retail sales nationwide. $4.3 trillion. All retail. Of that, $3.6 billion is online sales. So compute the numbers. Even though it's $1 billion, it's only 6% of sales. So 90% of your stores are still doing business in brick and mortars. People like to touch. People like to feel. People like to see what they're getting, and they get that instant gratification. They can walk away from it. Sure, you're going to buy books online that you don't need today, or you're going to buy windshield wiper blades maybe online that you don't need. But generally, still 95-96% of the sales are in stores.
And that makes so much sense. You talk about places like Best Buy that sells the big flat screen TVs. You don't want to necessarily not see what the picture looks like. Yep. On that screen before
Absolutely.
You buy it.
They'll go get the specifics and specs on that TV and look at customer reviews and see if it's, stands up and over time delivers on the warranty. But, yeah, they want it now. I mean, you're in the middle of a football game and your TV goes. You're not going to order it online and say, I need my new TV. So, yeah, brick and mortar is going to be here. But there's challenges. Like I said, there's too much retail. Big stores, JCPenney's did close in the mall. It was just announced last month that Macy's will be closing 40 stores nationwide. So these big stores have too much space and they need to start downsizing. And if the store is underperforming, they will look at closing the stores. Sears has been having issues. Penny's was weak, closed last year here, but the year before they closed 33 stores. They closed 40 last year, Kingston being one of them. Macy's is going to close 40 stores. Penny's is going to close more stores. Just read the Gap is still closing stores, and that's one of the number one stores that's asked about here in the mall is when's Gap coming back. But they are closing stores. So that uncertainty is still out there, and that uncertainty within the consumer confidence is still. Even though the economists say that business is doing well, the consumer is still uncertain whether he's going to have a job tomorrow. Gas prices are low, but he's paying off his bills that he had accumulated with lower gas prices. Typically, retail sales uptick when sales prices go down. In 08, 09, when we had that escalation of gas prices every day, 5-6 cents, there was a statistic out there that said for every penny gas rises, retail sales decrease by $1 billion. And that's big money. But we're not having the reverse effect nowadays where the gas prices are going down. People are not spending that $1 billion extra. They're paying off their debt or holding it on for a rainy day.
That's interesting. So I heard that the other day about airlines. You'd think that their prices would have gone back down commensurate with a huge drop. But this is their chance to finally make a profit. So that's why you're not seeing the dramatic change there.
Absolutely.
Which does make some sense. Absolutely. But tell me about Penny's. Can you bring another company in there now, Terry, to fill that space?
That's a good point, Ward, is people don't realize that the mall, when a tenant comes in, issues a lease. So a lease is actually a piece of chattel for that person's business. He owns that piece of property for the duration of the lease. So Penny's had a 20-year lease with four-year options on each one of those. So they exercise their second or third option. I'm not even sure what it is, and I take the time frame out. But they still have 3.5 years on their lease when they close their store. They are paying the mall, their rent, their taxes, their CAM charges. So we really don't have access to that property. I have tenants that are interested in space. I get calls every day about that space. But technically, I do not have rights to that property until that lease expires. So what happens about if we really have a really tenant that we want that's going to benefit the area, and again, when I say benefit the area, it's something that we want that's different, that's not the same old stuff. So if that comes about, which is very rare in the retail industry today, but if we have that event come up, sure, we will look at Penny's coming up and say, hey, we have a tenant. How can we get out of this lease? What's going to be amicable between both parties? Right now, if we want the space back, Penny's going to say pay them for breaking their lease. So we're in that catch-22 situation now with Penny's. But they are paying us rent, so it's their property. And that's it does hurt the mall because people drive in the mall and see an empty storefront, and they think that the mall is in trouble. But again, the mall is never in trouble. It's the retailers that are out there that occupy space in the mall that are having corporate issues. Radio Shack, they closed all their stores across the country. Radio Shack was in our store. Deb Shop was in the mall. They closed their store. They went bankruptcy. They went right to liquid bankruptcy, so they closed their store. So it wasn't anything the mall did. It was their corporate entities that had the issues, and it just reflects down to every store, wherever they have a store in the country.
Yeah, I know I've heard people say that there was decent traffic in Penny, so it's maybe not always what's going on locally, but as you said, it's a corporate decision.
It's a corporate decision. I mean, Target. Target closed every 133 stores in Canada earlier in the year. 133 stores. They closed them. They couldn't make a go for it. That wasn't a idea that flew in Canada. So they closed their stores, took their losses and closed stores.
So, and here it's always busy. So
It's about business.
So I can only imagine some of the challenges. You and I talk a lot about technology and how that's changing everything around us. What kind of things do you see coming up in the foreseeable future in terms of the retail market being able to make changes, Terry, and still be viable to, you know, moving forward?
What you're really seeing today is that the U.S. GDP is 90% of it is consumer spending, whether it be cars, boats, gasoline, whatever, food. 90% of the GDP is driven by consumer spending. And of that, 70% of that GDP is middle-class, blue-collar worker spending. And what you're seeing is that demographics disappearing, unfortunately. It was fortune of the times and everything, all manufacturing moving offshore and all that. So that's compounded that spending and uncertainty of that blue-collar worker. So he's no longer here. You're seeing an influx of tourism in Ulster County, which is great, but it has its drawbacks. Yes, your hotels, your food places, your gas stations are spending money, but that money doesn't stay here. That immediate dollar stays here, but that consumer goes away and doesn't stay here. So what do we got to do? What do the malls got to do to attract that retailer or that tourist to come to the mall? So what you're seeing today is a redevelopment of malls with more entertainment and not strictly retail. So there is a rumor flying out there that the Hudson Valley Mall is going to be torn down in retail or outlet stores are coming in. That's not true. About a year ago, 2 years ago now, when we knew that Sears, Penny's were in trouble, we did a survey. What's going to need to attract people here? And we looked at two concepts, and one of them was to raise the Penny store, put an out parcel in, like a Fresh Market, Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, as a grocery store. Success of Adams, one of our honorees. You know, that's what these tourists want, these second homeowners want, is that farm to market type of shop. So we looked at that, and then putting more fast food upscale restaurants in, not like your McDonald's, not like your Burger King's, not like your Hardee's that we're seeing here. A more bring in a craft brewing company restaurant with these tourists want to see. So we looked at that. Unfortunately, $20 million just to do that type of concept in a Penny's environment. So if you don't have the traffic and you really don't have that, does it really make sense to do that yet? So you start looking at other options, chess matches and moving the puzzle around to do. It's more like a Tetris, what fits in what place and what person is going to shop here. So, yeah, we're doing that. But, again, malls need to adapt to become more hybrid, get out of the traditional strict retail kind of environment. You know, improve the movie theater, get miniature golf, get a comedy club routine into it, stuff like that. Dave and Buster's kind of stuff that people like to go out and see. So that's where you're going to see retail, even medical, you know, the college. You know, we're talking to the college about space at the mall. It's a central location, plenty of parking, no issues.
Yeah. So. But I tell you, that just brings to light the fact that you've got a great community room, which the chamber often uses for events, and it's great to see people coming in there and having a chance to explore the mall they may not normally see. So thanks for that space, incidentally. It's a great benefit.
We'd like to give back to that community the best we can.
Yeah. All right. Terry Parisian, our guest. He's the general manager of the Hudson Valley Mall. He's the chairman of the board of directors of the Chamber of Commerce. And we thank Terry for all the great work that he's doing. And I know it's a wonderful time of the year for you as we get into the holiday shopping mode and Black Friday right around the corner. So good luck in all that.
That's even changing. Black Friday. It used to be it was termed Black Friday because that was the day that the retail industry went from the red in their cash flow to the black. But that Black Friday now is spreading out and becoming less effective as you have Shop Local Saturdays, Cyber Mondays, and all the doorbuster specials that are happening in October and November prior to Black Friday. So that's even changing.
It is. The changing face of retail. Terry's our guest. Thank you so much again, Terry, for being on the radio. Continued success to you.
thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right. And that pretty much is our program for today. I want to remind folks, don't forget to get that extra hour of sleep. And it is the fall season, so move your clocks back this morning. And don't forget to vote this coming Tuesday, Election Day 2015. Good luck to all the candidates. Don't forget to vote. And please be with us again next week at the same time for another edition of Spotlight on the Ulster County Regional Chamber of Commerce.